بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, He has created support structures. In the time the child is born, he needs the support of his parents. And minus the support, what happens? Then as he grows up, then he needs the support of a teacher. And then as he progresses in life, then he needs the support of a wife. Then as he's aging, then he may need some attention, perhaps his children or a khadim or someone to attend to him. If he's ailing, then he needs the support of a doctor. If he's got some financial problems, he needs the assistance of an accountant. So right through the journey, you need some type of support. What brings me to this topic was someone sent a mail. I've got a problem and I'll recite 1,000 istighfar and that should sort the problem out. So it was a person that was dictating, I was dictating to. Man has got acute heart problem. Can he say randomly that I'll make istighfar 1,000 times and sort the problem out? Yes. Allah has created some systems, some protocols. You follow that and you support it with istighfar. It's alright. Otherwise, it would mean there's no need for support structures. Allah has created these structures. And these structures have to be used. And then they have to be used correctly. See, when we take meals, well, there are several du'as that are recommended to be recited. One is Hamdan kaseeran tayyiban mubarakan fi ghayra mukfin wala mustaghnan anhu rabbana. So they have explained the du'a in different ways, but one simple explanation is that we have taken to our capacity, but we cannot say that we won't need it. غَيْرَ مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا. The other meaning is we praise you, Allah, حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا, but we cannot say that after we have praised you, we won't need you, we still need you. So the gifts that you've given, because we've got a limit, right? So we only take to the limit. But we cannot say for a moment that we won't need this support. So this support structures, Allah has created for one thing and for everything. And we all know about it. And we all apply it. Someone has got a heart problem, he'll go for some support. And because the heart is considered to be a very vital organ, right? So he'll take it very seriously. He'll say, go on this diet, eat this, and you take this type of a tablet of medication, he will go with it diligently. Right? Same applies to cancer, incurable diseases. He'll go with it, he'll go with it very, very diligently. And the moment he hears that he's got cancer and he's at the second level or the third level, then you'll see half of his life is dead, finished. Just by the diagnosis of a doctor. So he's telling you that we've come to the end of the road and now we have got no more support structures left for you. So what happens to the person? So if it is that for the physical well-being, right, material well-being, then we are so concerned, right? There was the looting, right? And you all came up in arms, did a lot of things just for the security, right? And we're supposed to be showing some type of concern for that. It's a gift of Allah Ta'ala. And the qiyam al-linnas is the means of our livelihood. So we take good care of it. But now, when we can show so much of good care for physical, material well-being, then obviously spiritual well-being, the support structure, the well-being, how much more should we apply that? If for the physical material we apply so much, right? Small leak on the roof, what will you do? Do we have the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he saw in the dream that the Laylatul Qadr and you will be making sajda on mud, and that night it rained and the roof leaked and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak forehead was soiled, right? So we do have that heart. It's alright, just small leak now, let it carry on. The next day we have someone coming, hey, you know what, a leak here, you better sort it out. So, in that day, the greater concern was spiritual. This is breakdown in my spirituality, in my performance, in my observance, there's a breakdown, I can notice it, right? And perhaps, that is the reason why Ubay ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, when he asked Man Naja, so one of the three advice, Ibki ala khatiyati, cry over your own sins. So it makes you think why. Because now there'll be so many things coming in that you don't know what to take and what to leave. It's so confusing, so complicating, and the current is coming with such a speed that it makes you a little bit blurred in your vision. You can't see accurately. Right. If you want to go on that, talk about this one here, talk about this one here, and a third person, then you will lose sight of your own self. And your whole deen will be about discussing what he had to say, what this site, what that program will say. So that's your whole deen. Then you go and ask yourself, what deen have you done? How much Quran Sharif, zikr, tilawat, dua, did you cry over your sins, mistakes, what preparations? Nothing. So yeah, he is like this, that person like that, that program was like this, that became your deen. So the program was just supposed to be a medical help. The medical help, keep it at a level of a medical help. He's going to show you, what's going to be the better thing for you, just do that. So then for the medical help, then you need a medical practitioner, someone that is specialized. Everybody can't do that. So the same law will happen in the spiritual realm. There'll be someone that will specialize in spirituality. Right? Like for medical help, we're very quick, right? Very concerned. So when you see a breakdown in the spirituality, then do we have the same level of concern? Al Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, he is complaining that when we are with you, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are different, as though Jannat and Jahannam are before us. And when we are with our wives and children, then it's a different story altogether. So when he found an inconsistent pattern in the spirituality, he came and reported it. And he first mentioned it to Abu Bakr, and the whole case was presented before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now from there you got a direction. But the concern was about yourself. So one will be people like us, then you will need some type of a medical expert, right? Now if there's not going to be any expert in the medical side, right? Now you got a spiritual breakdown, then where do you refer to? Who do you refer to? So Allah has created different levels. One level is people like us, you got problems, right? And the second level is the one that is above us, and he knows how to handle this, manage this, and guide. So every person cannot go and pretend to be a medical advisor, he can't. Right. And he just learned some kitabs, learn something in Maslahat and to appear there. You know, I can guide on these issues. I say, is that right? Are you being honest? Are you being fair? I should think for some time, you know, that the Quran Sharif says, Kunu ma'as-sadiqin. That the best provision for the road is taqwa, ittaqullah. So, amanu taqullah. But then, from all the words that I use, Allah Pak says, Kunu ma'as-sadiqin. He didn't say salihin. He didn't say muttaqin. He said, Kunu ma'as-sadiqin. So, there must be a reason. Because every word, every alphabet in the Quran Sharif is loaded with some meaning, loaded with wisdom. So why did Allah Pak use the word Sadiqin? So this whole road is about truth, honesty. What's the level of honesty? What's the level of truth? That's the whole thing. It revolves around truth and honesty. That's why on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak will say, يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقٌ. What's going to help? What's going to help you? Your truth. See that. See the word of the Quran. يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقٌ. What's going to be helping you? It's not how eloquent you were. It's not how intelligent you were. It's not how popular you were. It's not how much of publicity you had. It was about what? يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقٌ. It's the level of your honesty, the level of your truth, that will amount to the level of sincerity. Because that's what all sincerity is about. It's about the unadulterated heart. Heart is not contaminated. No adulteration. It's absolutely just pure. And in our very intimate relationship, we also appreciate that. This person is just for me. Talk about your wife, and she's just about me. And her mind doesn't go to any other person. When she's around, then it's just about me. I enjoy this undivided attention. So you enjoy it so much, undivided, unadulterated, uncontaminated. You appreciate it, you enjoy it so much. You appreciate it, you demand. And if you don't receive that, you feel very upset. Your mind is all over the place, not on me. Make up your mind. Whenever I see you on the phone, talking to someone else, not interested in me. So Allah is asking the same thing. Ma umiru. See the choice of the words of the Quran Sharif. There's a lot of lessons. But very seldom we take out the time to ponder over this word. Ma umiru illa liya'budullaha mukhlisin. See that unadulterated, undivided. Just for him. Nothing else. Honest. And then mukhlisin, and then hunafa. And hunafa, what it means, Hanif? It means total, undivided. Yaksuho karke. Undivided. Give him that attention. So that is the level that Allah Pak wants. Undivided, total devotion. Pure, uncontaminated, unpolluted. That's what he wants. Right? And the people that want, they want on account of their truth. And people that fail, they failed on account of them not being honest. Now look at the story of Hercules, right? Arabic they call it Herakl. So now, he's around the time of Rasulullah, and from the description that is contained in the Hadith and the Kitabs, he will seem to be an alim, very educated person. Very, very educated. Not just a king and a ruler, or an administrator, but also very educated in all dini sciences of that day. It means Christianity was like a master in that. In the meanwhile, the Mubarak letter, Risala of Rasulullah, reaches Hercules. And he reads the letter and he's shaken. To his depths he's shaken. Now I can imagine now, the letter is coming from Rasulullah SAW, Medina Munawara, right? And hand delivered, right? And it reaches Hercules, right? So it won't be like a very, very high level, royal level, right? It's coming from here. But then the words are so striking that he can't overcome this. In the meanwhile, he is very well educated in the scriptures. So then he inquires, is there anybody from that land that is closest to his family? Man that has sent this letter here, and is there any person from his land, and he must be closest to his family? Just then, Abu Sufyan, who became radiallahu anhu thereafter, right? He was called in because he came in with the trade caravan, because now this was the Sulh Hudaybiyah, see, the time of the truce, the treaty, right? So that allowed it to accommodate for free movement, free, safe movement. Until then, things were unsafe because there was no peace treaty written and signed. Now it's signed and sealed. There'll be no fight for the next 10 years. So the trade movement was going on very, very well. And they're doing trade with Syria and Yemen mainly. Rihlat al-Shita'i was safe. So these two journeys, one was towards Syria, one was towards Yemen. In the winters they're going to Yemen, summers they're going to Syria. So they were doing very well at the time. So Abu Sufyan is brought in. Now there's a lot of things that we are supposed to be learning, right? Looking at the situation, to the extent Rasulullah could do the da'wat, he did it. Now it's a peace treaty, so that stopped the both sides from any war. There was no jihad. Can you see what happened? No jihad. Why? There's a peace treaty that is signed between them and the people of Makkah Mukarrama. So jihad is not something now just randomly 10 people thought they start jihad. It's a whole process, whole procedure. How you go about doing it, when you do it, how do you do it. So there's a whole procedure. Now here there's a peace treaty that is signed, so they can't get into the war. And when you can't get into war, then it will stop them from doing the first obligation of Hajj. You can't even do that. But now they signed a treaty and both sides are respecting the contents, right? So Abu Sufyan is called in. As he's called in, so he's made to sit right in front, and the rest of the caravan, 10-12 of them, they are sitting behind. And Hercules is sitting, he's the king now. You can imagine now, he's sitting, maybe sitting on the throne with all that glamour and that glitter, splendor of kingship, right? So he's addressing the rest of the caravan. If this man says something wrong, you must correct him immediately. So there's no chance of him speaking a lie. And there's no chance of him just winking the eye. Let's make up a story. He's right in front and they're behind. So is there any possibility? He's just going to speak the truth. How's the man, credentials, ever spoken a lie? What's the level of the truth, right? A lot of questions, a whole series of questions he asked. Then he asked, what's the condition between you all now? He says, now we are in a peace treaty. So he says, that was the only place that I could slip in some word. The word that I slipped in at that time, that they could not contest, was, we're on a peace treaty now, we don't know what's going to be of the peace treaty. In other words, we don't know whether he's going to violate this thing here, or he's going to maintain it. Now, nobody could challenge him on that. Right? He's not speaking of the past. The truth is something about the past. He's talking of the present and the future. So, said, we don't know what's going to come out of this. So that was the only thing that I could slip in. But again, now look at the words of Abu Sufyan. What he says, مَخَافَةَ أَيُّؤْسَرَ مِنِّي الْكِذْ. I didn't want to speak something wrong, because for generations thereafter, generations, I'm living and I'm gone, my family, my children, grandchildren, all around. And then they will say, your grandfather, bara jhoota tha. Agar luchho to. So, that tumhara dada agar luchha hota. you know, what an embarrassment it would have been. So just for the fear that nobody may attribute a lie to my line, I just spoke the truth. But what I was marveling at is what was the level of honesty of the people. Being a kafir at that time, but he didn't want that people should sing kasidas about his lie, jhutta hota, yawa hota. At the end now, look at the end of this letter. لَوِسْتَطَعْتُ لَتَجَّشَّمْتُ لِقَاهُ. If I could have managed, you know, لَوْلَا أَنِّي فِي هَذَا الْمُلْكِ. Right? I've got this whole responsibility of running this whole Roman Empire. If it was not for this, I would have taken all the trouble to go and meet him. وَغَسَّلْتُ رِجْلِي. I would have washed his feet with my own hands. Right? And this letter is saying the truth, right? And this content is what you are saying, right? What you are saying is the truth. Then he is going to be ruling this land here. So now his heart was testifying the truth. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. He rejected, but his heart was convinced. آج نہیں تو کل سے یہ تو ہو کر رہنے والا ہے. So he's comparing Rasulullah Paksam's letter with the scriptures of the past. So everything is consistent, everything is conforming. There's no inconsistency. Everything is in agreement. But then, Imam Bukhari sahab brings this hadith. Now, when he wants to negotiate this whole thing with these special people, you know, the special branch that he's got. So they became violent and aggressive. Ran towards the doors. So now he got afraid. Ke mere kursi ka kya hoga? What's going to happen to my position? See? Now we will talk about him in that way. But do we ever reflect over ourselves? You know, you're going to say the truth and you're going to be honest and you're going to be saying absolutely right. What's going to be happening to my status, my maqam, my position? Do we fall in that category or not? We talk about him and give a dozen explanations on the hadith, right? This whole dialogue. But ask yourself, alright, now I'm enjoying some level of respect and honesty, etc. Of respect and recognition, publicity, right? And I come to the crunch time. Then am I totally honest, or I will go and mix up things, mix up something here, mix up something this side here, that side. So there was an email today, you know. So the woman has become a widow. So now the daughters are living nearby, maybe 20, 30 kilometers from what I understood, apart. So 4 or 5 daughters, and they are writing, can we just say it out like this, that I will house her for 1 month, and this other sister, and the third one. Can we do this? So you can't do it, she must be at the house that she passed away. And then I wrote a note after that. It says, adjust yourself for the Sharia. You don't adjust the Sharia to suit your life. See that? You adjust yourself, you make yourself work for the Sharia. Don't you make the Sharia work for you now. No. It's how you look at it. So now, the world is going in that direction, that let's make a plan, let's make some adjustments here and there, and let's make it work. But then I ask you, is it conforming to this? يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. So now, when you look at Hercules again, right? So Imam Bukhari sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, at the end, he says, فَكَانَ هَذَا آخِرُ أَمْرِي. Then he rejected, and this was the end of Hercules. Because he was scared of his position when he called his special branch, he called them around, and he expressed his intention now that, you know, if you want good, then just accept this creed here, just accept this religion, and they all opposed you. And now he knows that this is the special, you know, advisors. If they do something, the whole kingdom will be toppled. I'll lose my wealth, my position, my recognition, etc. I'll lose everything. So he's making a comparison between the position, the influence, the wealth, the comfort is God, right? With that against the truth. When you accept the truth, then all these things will go. And when you accept the truth, then all this, all my special people, they're all against me. When they're all against me, they just topple me. So, mera maqam ka kya hoga? Mera izzat ka sawal hai. It's about my izzat. What's going to happen? So when he saw this, now, he changed the whole tune. He says, no. You know, I just did this to try you out. That how firm and steadfast you are on your religion. And I've made out that by the grace of Allah, you are very, very staunch and loyal to your religion. I made up a story. So they all made sajda to him. And he maintained his position and authority. So on this, Imam Bukhari says, فَكَانَ هَذَا آخِرُ أَمْرِي. That was the end of this mota. What happened? Now there's a discussion whether he accepted Islam or not. But most say that no, he didn't accept Islam. Because then shortly after that, there was the battle of Muta. And Muta, he sent approximately 100,000 of his forces to fight against Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he can't be a Muslim. Finished. Ruled him off. Imam Bukhari Sahib says, Kana akhiru amri. This was the end of the man. But what I'm showing you is what was the element that was missing in this man? Was it knowledge? Yeah, he was an expert. He knew, he got the knowledge of the scriptures. Was it that he didn't have publicity and power? No, he had all that. He had power, he had knowledge, he had influence, all that. So what was the missing link? The truth was there. The truth was out of him. And then, when that falsehood came into him, then he went to manipulate the whole religion. And he made up a story, no, I had to test you people out, what's the level of your commitment to your religion? And I made out that your people are very committed, alhamdulillah. Now they made sajda to him. But you see now how you end up. That point is to be seen. حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتَرْكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ Again, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ Allah is going to make out those that were very honest and those that were just speaking a lie. See? So you're going to get these three groups. One is very truthful, one is absolutely defiant, and the third one, that's the dangerous one. They were playing a balancing act. Kabhi idhar, kabhi udhar, playing a balancing act. And you don't know what's going to happen. That Hercules tried to play that act, right? Did it work out for him? With all his power and might. And our ulama say that he didn't reflect over the contents of the Mubarak letter of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because the letter read, Aslim Taslam. You accept Islam, everything will go well. There will be a little bit of a turmoil. One person will say this one. But everything will work well. And he only contemplated on the Mubarak words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he was convinced, he was certain, this is the man that has been predicted in our scriptures. There's no two ways about it. Because he said that if what you people are saying is the truth, then he is going to rule the land, this land under my feet. He was absolutely certain about it. There's no two ways about it. Well, these are the hurdles that come on the way of truth. One is wealth, position, influence. Right? But they'll come. You say that you want the truth. You want to be with Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Pak says, my way is very easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا Made it easy. But then, it's going to come with some trial. Sometimes it's about halal and haram. Sometimes it's about friendship and enmity, etc. All this is going to happen. This thing must happen. So, amongst those people that will enjoy the shade of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, right? رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ وَتَفَرَّقَا عَلَيْهِ اجْتَمَعَا لَهُ وَتَفَرَّقَا عَلَيْهِ their love is only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So they get together, and they get together only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. For no material and physical needs. Like, alhamdulillah, people are here, right? They haven't come here that after the bayan, there'll be a prize now. Someone will get a Toyota, someone will get a Mercedes and all that. No God for that. So no material gain. It is only on the basis of the love of Allah Ta'ala that brought us here together. But there is not a one-sided thing. It's not only illallah, it's la ilaha as well. Right? It's not only illallah. So there's the negative and the positive. You know, there's a whole discussion. When we raise our hands for the takbir at-tahrima, so there's a discussion that do you raise your hands first, or do you say the takbir first, or you do the both simultaneously? Allahu Akbar. So there's three views. One is do it simultaneously. One is do the takbir first. And the third is raise your hands first and then say Allahu Akbar. So Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah says that you raise your hands first and then you say the takbir. And he says, what's the reason for that? The reason for that is raising the hands is like a nafi. You know, it's negating. You negate something. La ilaha, you're negating. And illallah is you affirming, right? You see, you're negating everything else. Negating it. And illallah, you're affirming that you worship just one Allah Ta'ala. And then this is in conformity with La ilaha illallah. Now see this man, Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi. See, where he is watching. Like nobody has reached that level. And I say this with a lot of conviction, that when you see him and others, right, you can't, whatever it's worth, you can't despise any imam. Can't despise. Because they were all great. But obviously then someone, فَضَّلْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ. Someone Allah Pak had allowed to be more privileged, right, than others. Someone has been favored more than others. And we have to live with it, to understand that someone is more privileged and someone is less privileged. Like in material, someone is more privileged, right? And someone is less privileged. In the Anbiya, someone is more privileged and someone is less privileged. In the heavens, seventh heaven is more privileged than the first heaven, right? Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi. So, he said now, as you escalate, then you go through different experiences. So on one occasion, he says, قَدَمِي عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ كُلِّ وَلِيٍ. My feet are above the head of every wali. Right? My feet, that means my maqam. What? My position is above every other wali. So, now, please, for Allah's sake, you don't want to imitate. See, what happens to us, if we read something in a kitab, we want to imitate it. He could say, why can't I say it? We are men, nahnu rijal, wahum rijal. But you're not in that position, you remain in your position. If the doctor did a heart operation, you know, nahnu rijal, wahum rijal. He did, I can do it. But you remain in your position, it'll be better for you. And leave him at his position. So when he said this statement, made the statement, one wali said, Illa ana. Allah Pak doesn't like that word. What he said? Besides me, yes, you are above everybody else. Now Allah Pak detests the statement. This ana, Allah Pak doesn't like it. That's why they say, Jo ana ana kehta ho, to usko kasai ke paas bhej do. Who says, Ana, ana, yes, meh, meh. Ana, in Urdu, meh, meh. Who says meh, meh, send him to the butcher. See that? So he said what? Illa ana, I. Father Sheikh Hamza reports this incident. He says, it wasn't long after that, he's traveling towards Hajj with an entire entourage of his murids and his students. and he spotted one beautiful Christian girl, hair, and everything else. And he just became overwhelmed. A big sheikh, alim, notable, hundreds and thousands of murids, and they had to say this word and see what happened. So, at no time, no person can feel overconfident of himself. No person. Right? Just make shukr for what you are and what you have been blessed with without being overconfident of yourself. And I say, for every physical thing, Allah Pak has kept his a support structure. So obviously then in the spiritual realm also, Allah Pak will have a support structure. So then you'll have to hold to this support structure, whether you like it or you don't like it, but you will have to hold to that support structure, right? Now, middle of the night, you've got a terrible toothache, right? The dentist said, you got a fight with him, right? Long time. Your father was there, my father was there. Fight is carrying on. But well, the thing is throbbing. Can you ignore him? Can you ignore him? You'll have to go to him. Because you know what the pain is doing to you, right? So whatever it is, you've got a support structure in a physical realm, in a spiritual realm. And then Allah wants you to hold on to it. Kunu, otherwise, what does the need? Kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Ask yourself, in the spirit of truth today, ask yourself, why did Allah say, kunu ma'as-sadiqeen? So it's a spiritual support. And the spiritual support, you do need it. And the ayat attested that you will need it. And when you say, no, I am exempt from this. Now this man felt that I am exempt. What happened? And it was just days after that. It was just time. And there was a situation that he's tried. And he can't help it. He's enthralled, he's overwhelmed, and he's stuck with this thing. Until after a long time, all made dua, whatever they did. And then he came back. But now, the end of the story is, the Shaykh mentioned some of the kitab. This one kitab, in another kitab he says, that Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chishti, rahmatullahi, that he's a contemporary of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi. So in Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani said, Qadami ala ra'asi kulli waliyin. So what was his response? His response was, Bal ala ra'asi wal ayn. He understood now, that's a maqam. But you see what was the immediate response. Bal ala rasi wal ayn. No, not only over my head, not only over me, but I'll attach you to my eyes. You know, the most significant thing in a person, I'll hold you up there. So now the discussion is that whose position is greater? They're discussing this whole thing now. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani or Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Ali. So most of them say that the maqam of Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Ali was greater. Why? What's the reason? So the reason they give is Hazrat Mu'inuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali Tanazzuli ki taraf che. He was going towards humility. And he was going on the high. And the law is من تواضع لله. See, the تواضع لله, that's the law. When that's the law, and he was going towards humility, he says, you are so high, we will accept it, we'll embrace you, we'll take you as you have been promised, we'll take you. So now, he is going on the line of humility. And the line of humility, Allah Ta'ala appreciates. من تواضع لله. So, what we are getting at, you need some support structure. Kunu ma'as sadiqeen. And the support structure is right till you leave the world. Nobody can say that I don't need that support structure. You got a business, it's a support structure, right? And, you know, how many people, I think this week or so, I had to tell, why you got a business, look after the business. Right? Business and Mrs. and business, just look after it. We say, Ma, but all, you know, talking of all material things, only wife and business and all that, what are you talking about? I say, alright. You want to know why? For business and missus. Look after them. Look after them more, and born with them, love with them even more. Why? All dunya things you talking of. Listen. You got some financial stability, right? When you got that financial stability, business working, money is coming in, food is coming in, health is right, what will be the quality of your namaz, zikr, Quran Sharif? Will it be going well? Go very well. But now this property is going, the money is failing, that manager there, he is letting you down, this thing is not working out, right? Everything is just collapsing. Now what will be the quality of your namaz, zikr, Quran Sharif? What will be the quality? Everything will fall down. Now you read namaz now, that thing is playing in your mind. If this thing is falling, that is falling. What must do? Must make 1,000 istighfar. What will happen? See? All these thoughts, aapke zehn mein goonste rahenge. So you're keeping that wealth. Why? For the security of your deen. We are weak and we need some support structure. When we need the support structure, then you keep that, save that. Why? So that your deeni things go well. So you don't have to start experimenting with your deen. And you don't know no support structure, then the first thing you do is you start experimenting. You can make a plan, Yemen. Now they're talking about takaful, it's an Arabic word, must be right. Murabaha, you know, they're talking about musharaka, it must be right. So you start experimenting with your deen. See, when things are going down, this will happen. But you are secure, so do you need to go and experiment with your deen? And the same will happen if there's a very good relationship with you and your wife. You know, bonding, like, you know, every day is like a new marriage, like, you know. Hazrat used to call his family Dulhan. Right till the end, Dulhan used to call. You know what imitate? By bribe. But what must have gone through that heart? You know, like Hazrat is seeing her like the first day. See. Now, then I asked him, you know, why I'm asking you to do this? Because you'll bond very well, you love everything, right? And your mind will not stray around, float around other women. But if the bond is not very strong here, they say, hey, it's alright, but I can also try out something else, you know. Corolla is getting pretty old now, I need to experiment with something else. This won't happen. And you say, no, this one year is, I got this one year. Every year, she's just upgrading, you know, from a Toyota to a Merc to a whatever. She's just upgrading, right? Now, will your mind need to be floating around elsewhere? So what's going to be the quality for namaz, your zikr, tilawat? For now, just as a safety measure, right? Not supposed to be mentioned here now, but you just started it off. It doesn't mean now that you are bonding very well, you must indulge so much. No. Especially after you're 45, 50, then you go, you break the speed. Now, when you break the speed, why you break the speed? Because this overindulgence, then it reduces your power, right? It reduces your power, right? And how I say that it reduces your power? Because the human speed that is emitted thereafter, right, is got the potential of every human faculty. Got the potential of the eyes, brains, ears, everything, right? So now, you can imagine now how precious a seed is coming out. But he has to draw out, he has to resource from every faculty. So therefore, after you feel weak, khalas. Right? So when you're aging now, and you're overindulging then, I mean, you're 18, 19, 20, alright. But now, after 45, 50, then, ghasle, usuli. But then, I have to tell you people, people are educated, but they're not, banela che, but gharaila ni male. They're educated, but they're not matured. Well, a lot of education, you will not dispute, but they're not fully matured. So now, step by step, you have to teach them all these things here. So it doesn't mean you're not overindulging. So you might just abandon that woman. No. You have to use some type of substitute. Then you have to hug, do something, show that you love her, go after any other woman. So some other way you have to show it. And I tell the people that, see, this overindulgence is not right for you, not right for her. Because she will age up before her time. I know I was in Jalalabad, right? I was just talking about these things. He's telling now, what I can see, that I know the person, right? I can't take names around. You know, overindulge. And remember, it's winter now, and the whole day her hair is going to be wet. Kiska kya hoga? She'll come old before her time. So now, ye cheez karni hai, zara samajh karke kar. When I came from India, 1980, one Musalli is telling me, he heard that Hazirji Rahmatullah Ali is in Isubas place in Verulam, right? So I must take him there. He needs to discuss. He can't speak for himself. So alright, maybe some tasawwuf or something, some zikr, tilawat or something. So I accompany the person taking Hazirji Rahmatullah. He's saying, hey, things are working out. I'm getting only access once in two months, access coming in. Anyway, now I had to translate. I couldn't deceive him, right? I had to translate. So Hazrat asked him, aapki umar kya hai? He said about 45, 48, something like that. He said, phir to char mahine mein ek dafa. What he was expecting, he turned out completely other way out. So you need that energy, but divert it in a better place. Don't overindulge, right? And then I ask you also, then look for a substitute, right? Now, Hazrat is working. What is working towards a better quality of a better home? But if you do this, you will be healthier for a longer period, and she'll be healthier also for a longer period. But then that requires the last message of Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi. He says your stamina will be very great. He used the word shahwatul muttaqi ashad. Your strength, etc., be far greater, provided you got taqwa. Then he explained, Kaisab explained why. He says because the one that doesn't have taqwa, some of his energy is being released from the eyes, wrong looks, right? Some with the ears, some with his imagination and fantasizing. So some energy is being released. But the one that has got taqwa, all his energy is preserved. It is preserved and he's stronger. He doesn't need to take supplements. He doesn't need anything. He's good, right? But now you see, this Buzuganadin and how they're teaching us step by step, how they're teaching us, how they're taking us through. So anyway, the subject we just branched off somewhere, right? To come back. We're talking of truth. I was thinking about this truth, you know. So now we are approaching Ramadan. How many months? 3.5 months? 4 months? 3.5. Right. So there must be one thing at least we can hold on to that, and that will expedite the journey to Ramadan. And Allah Pak willing, we secure the Ramadan. Right? Secure it. Maximize. Get the best of it. So thinking, I thought about truth. Right. So the hadith says that a person is truthful, honest. When you talk about sidq, there's a lot of elements. Truthful, honest, loyal, not cheating, not robbing. So you're absolutely truthful. وَيَتَحَرَّى السِّدْقِ. Right? He's truthful and he works towards it. Not that he's only truthful, but he works towards being truthful. In every respect, he's working towards being truthful. Then what happens? Then Allah Ta'ala raised him in the list of the highest ranking awliya. Kutiba mina siddiqeen. See, after the Nabi's maqam is who? Siddiqeen. Mina nabiyina wa siddiqeena wa shuhada'i wa salihin. They come straight after the Nabi. But now, what is the distinct quality of the Siddiq? He is absolutely truthful. When you say absolutely truthful, what do you mean? So there is a consistent plan, the heart, the tongue and the behavior. If there is something on the heart, the tongue is saying the same thing, and the behavior is all this consistency and all day, right through. It mustn't be that you are something in the heart, the tongue is saying something else, and the behavior is showing something else. It's absolutely consistent, right through. Right through. So that person is then written amongst the highest level of the Siddiq. That's why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you say Siddiq, and he's the Siddiq of this Ummah, the highest. And nobody could reach up to his maqam. He's at such a level that nobody can reach at his maqam. Because you couldn't find a person as truthful as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as loyal, as truthful, as honest. You can't find anybody like that. And the Anbiya alayhi salam also, when Allah Pak is praising them, إِنَّ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. So this is one thing that we can work from now. Still got about 3.5 months, but we work on that. Truthful, honest. So, whilst working on that now, whatever goes against the grain of truth and honesty, then we leave it out. Big or small, but it goes against the grain of honesty, truth, simplicity, sincerity, right? So whatever is going against that grain, we move away. It's just one thing, and our Busuganadin sometimes they just ask you to work on one thing. You keep working that. Just perfect that. You perfect that, becoming right. One person asked for his Islah, came to some Buzurg, and for his Islah. He said, alright, I ask you to do just one thing. What? Speak the truth. So I've got a lot of flaws. I'm drinking, I'm womanizing, I'm doing all these things here. So I just do this. So now he pledged. In the old days, when a person is to pledge, then he'll pledge with all sincerity. It's not just a matter of expediency and convenience, right? Sometimes doing a political maneuver, right? But it's just because of some political expediency. Some masjid, and you do it, right? So it's not because of that. So they are pledging on the hand, but with all truth. And the pledge is that you will ever speak the truth. Now, when he's pledged in the hands of that buzurg, right? Now he's thinking to himself, I want to drink. And then if I go by that buzurg, and he asks me, did you drink? Then obviously I pledged at his hand. I can't speak a lie now. Otherwise, I'm not consistent. I'm not truthful. I'm not honest. And, you know, what a disgrace is going to be to me if that buzurg had to say, you're a cheat. What a disgrace it will be. So, that thing is urging him, and he is telling himself, but I just promised the person, I'm not going to look back now. Now his mind is telling him, let's go and steal, you know. All these things, womanizing, stealing, drinking, all that. Again, the same thought is running in his mind, if the police catches me, right, or they apprehend me and they are interrogating me, did you steal? Did you steal? Still the case is not yet confirmed, they haven't tried me, and they're asking me, have you stolen, right? From all the people in the town, they're asking me. And now I've pledged on his hands that I'm not going to speak a lie. So I can't speak a lie. Now how am I going to steal them? See, it just took him 1 month, and then he went on a different track altogether. But what was the catalyst, the starting point, was this truth. So you hold on to that, and hold very, very firmly. One thing, and then one thing you hold on, and you hold on, and you hold on, and you hold on so firmly, that you're not shaking from this end to that end, not this end to that end, not looking for convenience. Minan nasi, مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. So you're getting a great deal of people now wavering, this side, that side, this side, that side, grading this convenience Islam. So Allah Pak doesn't want that. He wants, by you be for me. You're in a marriage, and you are in the marriage just for convenience sake. Or the wife is with you just for convenience sake. And after some days, you get to know that she really doesn't love me, but just out of convenience, for her own convenience, she's got into this marriage. I ask you that tie, will it be enjoyable? Or she gets to know or you get to know that she's with me, or you get to know that she's with me, just out of convenience, not because of truth, loyalty and love. Will that relationship be right? So when Allah is seeing you, he sees you right through. He doesn't need an X-ray machine. He doesn't need a lie detector. He's seeing you and seeing right through. So this is just one element. Get it right. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, right? So he's a philanthropist, extremely wealthy, very, very wealthy. See, when you are truthful, then Allah looks for a way for you. He'll find a way for you. But then you must be absolutely truthful, on the mark, at any given time, then you're not moving. You are truthful. Absolutely on the mark. Now, I say, I don't like this person here. Why? Because he doesn't wear a hat in namaz, right? But now you've got another person, is a friend, very dear, you're doing a lot of business with him. He also doesn't wear a topi, right? Do you have the same dislike for him? So are you being truthful now? So see, now here, you had one line of thought, and here is a different line of thought, right? Are you being truthful? Some years ago, there was a boy in the madrasa, I'll mention his name. So, I would ask him, right, how's this person? So, one of the family would show a lot of respect and as though he's my father. And though he was not the father, but he would show that type of attachment as though he's my father. But I asked him, isn't that man your father? So, yeah. Then why do you attribute yourself to him? You see, this was a cousin or an uncle, and you're attributing yourself to him and not to your real father. Why? Then I discovered that because he's more popular, he's wealthier, he's more influential, so you're attributing yourself to him. Can you see that? So I want to attribute myself, you know, to Mora Ismail Bayat. He's wealthy, so much of control. This one, yeah, it's alright, it's a friend. Right? But now, why am I attributing? Just because of the control, just because of the popularity, just because of the wealth. So I want to show that I'm part of that clique. I ask you, is that truth? Is that honesty? Why did you have to attribute yourself to that particular person? And this person is even closer to you. His obligations are even greater. But why did you have to attribute yourself to this person? Was there the element of truth in that? Or was that because you feel that he's wealthier, he's stronger, more influential, so therefore I count myself amongst them so that I will enjoy the respect that he enjoys? See that? So this truth, that is the thing that Allah is wanting. At any given time, so the hadith says, من تشبع بغير معطى بغير ما من تشبع بغير ما يعطى كان كلابس ثوب زور. So what happens in the old days now? So I want to pretend like I got it, but I don't have it. Like you see some cars, they got in the back. My other car is a Ferrari. He's driving a broken down car, but he's got the what? My other car is a Ferrari. Say, don't see me, don't despise me. Yeah? I'm just using it for a short run here, but that's my real car. But now, is that a lie or not? So what used to happen then, is now, I can't live up to that Joneses, right? But I want to be counted amongst them. So what they will do now? So we'll have a sleeve, right? But the sleeve will be like a double sleeve, right? A double sleeve, and that the sleeve that is overlapping will look like a very smart one. It'll be just to the collar, and it'll be like very smart. So now that person gets deceived into thinking, hey, see this wealthy person, see the type of kurta that he's wearing. But the meanwhile, andar kuch nahi. The kala bisi sobai zurin. Unfortunately, we have one teacher in school, right? See these lies, how it works. So So he's telling us about himself. You know, when I was in for marriage, then I knew the girl that I was to be married, right? But then my cousins all had a lot of cars. Someone had got this car, that car. So I'll deliberately go past her, take one car today, take another car tomorrow, and go past that house. So Bishara, what he's doing? And he's sharing all his lies with us. He's sharing that lie with us now. It takes us time to register, alright? This is what you're saying. So Kalabisi Sobe Zurin, he's wearing wrong clothes. He's giving an impression, and he's pretending. He's not like that. He's just giving a show. So you see, when you pretend, you make up a story, you show what you aren't, then one day, Allah exposes you. For some time, it happens, you carry on, but you're giving up a show, right? Showing something, and you aren't that. You aren't like that, but you're showing something. So this show business, Allah doesn't like. Yes, in jihad, the exception is made in jihad, and you show yourself strong, so that you try and impress the enemy. That's an exception. But normally, you don't show. As Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that in the old, you had a lot of people becoming hafiz, but nobody would know. Becoming ulama, but nobody would know. They're becoming hafiz on their own, somehow secretly, quietly. Now half a person becomes hafiz, and they give half a dozen jalsa after that. A woman has become a little hafiz, make a jalsa. Every small thing, a jalsa. Right. So, there's so much of show business, and how much of reality. After that, then see how many people are reading, how much of Quran should they read. That's where you see the production, right? The jalsa is not the production. The jalsa is just to show, alright, this is what we have produced. But the production, the efficiency is the production after that. That every day, this person, this girl, this woman, is so much of Quran Sharif. Then you can say, no, it's a good machine. It's producing. But there's no production after that. Kya kaha jayega? It was just to fascinate, impress. And after that, tie the turban on the head. Okay, Mawlana, so many people came, Mawlana, fascinated, impressed, and then after that, so the deen is not to impress, is not to excite, not to thrill, is to see after that, you know, you've got a discourse, you've got a bayan, that what are the levels of taqwa that have passed on to the audience. Khuda ke samne rote hain, Fajr, right, in this season now, Fajr is coming very, very early. What is the quality? One girl, she had phoned, right? No, I got married to this person here. I thought he's a learned person, a very good, giving very good bayan. I need kitabs and all, I got married. Impressed with this kitab. Now, Fajr ka tikana nahi, or parde ka tikana nahi. No, tikana the parda, no, tikana the Fajr namaz. His business was going off this way, that way. So now, I don't know what to do. I already got a child from this person. It took me a year to understand this man here. But before that, I was now, rating him according to the bayan, according to the kitab, and according to how he was conducting himself. And now that I've come intimate with him, I see a different color of the person altogether. See? So what is required after the bayan is, what's the level of taqwa? What's the level of practice in applying yourself? Quran, Sharif, Zikr, your quiet moments, your angry moments, yeah. What is the level? Are you maintaining that? Or it was just confined to the bayan? What was it? So I say, when you do these type of things, just a show, then the show is just for a short duration, and then the story is up after that. You see, I mentioned in past also, that one person was right at the bottom in the army, you know, right at the body. Suddenly they gave him a small office now, right, or the cleaning up operation, or right, you in charge of him now. So I gave him a phone. Now his work is just to clean up, that's all, the barracks, right? That he's the head of all the cleaners. So now, that thing went to his brain now, you know, I got a position, recognition, I got an office of my own, I got a phone now. So now there's a knock on the door, so he took the phone quickly, to the phone, and saying, you know, we just clinched the deal, Mr. Mandela, 100 million arms, and America, 20 billion, that side,
And this thing is going to arrive like this, right? It's happening in 1970, right? Now, after he's convinced the person that's outside, impressed on him, I said, come in, please come in. Can I help you? I just came to connect the cord. I just came to connect the plug. See that when you make up a story, the Lapa will disgrace you. So the simple thing is, right, be truthful, honest, be simple, be yourself. Don't put up the show. And I say, to me, what I see now, that's like the best preparation for Ramadan. Your eyes should be truthful. Ya alamu kha'inatal ayun, the deception, that lie, Allah knows about it. I'm looking there, but my intentions are not right. I'm looking at his car, but my intention is not right. My intention is, where you got the car from? Or my intention is, but I am doing so much for Deen, I don't have this thing here. And he's got it. I feel jealous of you. So my looking is it right? I walked into your house, and you got a small little daughter, right? 5, 6, and all that. Stupid aunties, they're drawing their children at that age, right? Now I'm looking with the wrong intention. See, you got a cute daughter, nice daughter. But I'm looking with wrong intentions. Doesn't Allah know about it? Ya alamu qa'inatal a'yun wa ma tukhfi sudur. What's within your heart, Allah knows about it. Now you want to be very friendly with the children, right? My man is telling me, very respectable person. He's very, very friendly. They come and hug him. And he's respectable. All the girls, 7, 8 years of age. So when they come and hug me, then, mera to haal to mutaghayyar ho jata hai. I am a different person altogether. I say, then you must chase them away straight away. Why? You chase them. Today, you're finding that you're being aroused. Phir kal kya ho jayega? Then you'll be disgraced. So you nip it in the bud. You don't allow them to come near you. And you're allowing this now, showing them now you're very kind and very courteous and very considerate. And tomorrow when you fall in then who's going to bail you out after that? So you can see that you're getting aroused now. Then don't go near it. That means you are not at the level where you can take care of yourself correctly. When you can't take care of yourself, so this truth is not only in money, not only in speech, in your behavior as well. Are you absolutely truthful? You are a different standard for this person. You are a different criteria for this person. That means there's something that's missing here. Something that's wrong. It's not right. See that? Sidq. Is truthful, honest, being loyal. Being loyal, not deceiving, not robbing, not cheating. So one person is telling me, he's doing some business. And there was an oversight. So the customer is telling, but you got a beard, you got a kurta, and you're cheating me. You're a Muslim and you're cheating. See that? They can also see the slight inconsistency. Then that thing reflects on your whole religion. Ask you, what's the good of that 550 million rand? When you let your religion down, your deen down, I say, is there any good in that money after that? Allah Akbar.